All right. Well, if you guys just go ahead and we'll bow our heads real quick and we'll open up in prayer and then we'll jump right in. Father, I just thank you for the word that you have given us here this morning. I thank you, Lord, that it is something that's not just spoke to the congregation, but also spoke to myself, Father. And I just thank you that you would just let it be real, let the truth of God that rings out, Father, in your scriptures be real in inside each and every one of our hearts. And I just praise you, Lord, for the opportunity to speak here today. And I thank you that you, like Dan had said, not giving up on any one of us. And we just praise you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, it's good to be here. And like Dan, just to kind of continue on what Dan was talking about, when he's saying, you know, we always have something to say. It reminded me of a really, really good singer. His name is Matthew West. And his new CD that just came out is called Something to Say. And part of the lyrics in one of his songs was saying, you know, as long as you're living, as long as you're breathing, you've always got something to say. We've always got something that God wants to use us for. Because as long as he's given us breath, he gives us that breath for a reason. It's to minister to other people. So always, and don't ever think that you don't have anything that you can accomplish. Because if you're saved and God knows you and God has put something in your heart, obviously he has because he's in your heart. Which means that's where you share things from. Because it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we have Jesus inside of our hearts, we should be speaking Jesus all the time to people. So we can be the voice of God. So if you guys turn to Ephesians 6:12, we'll go ahead and start right there. And the reason why, I know I've probably used this verse many times before, but it's because sometimes, how many of you guys have a problem here today? Or have had a problem this past week, whatever the case might be? It's always good to know the source of your problem. It's always good to realize the problem that I'm dealing with has a source and I need to deal with it the proper way. So we reach to Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 12, the Apostle Paul reminds us, says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." God tells us that we can stand no matter what problem we're going through. And the reason why is because we realize that it's a spiritual problem. It is a spiritual situation. And the thing that's good about that is that God gives us the way to deal with spiritual problems right here in the Bible. He tells us exactly what we need to do. We need to claim the authority that God has given us because he gives it to us each and every day. Every day that he is with us, God is always going to be with us and always never forsake us and continually help us through each and every problem that we have. The reason why the sermon title here this morning says Under the Power is because there is a verse that I had memorized and it just kept dealing with me over and over and over again. Just something that it doesn't necessarily have to be the scripture that's in your bulletin. It doesn't have to be something that deals with just addictions. It can deal with things that you just continually do day in and day out. It can be people. It can be many different things. But we have to refuse to be under the power of anything but Jesus Christ. We have to refuse to be under the power of anything that will alter our behavior, alter our personalities other than the influence of Jesus Christ. So if you guys can turn to Romans 6:18, we will continue on. In Romans 6:18, it's a real short verse, but it says, "And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Slaves of righteousness, which means that we should only be slaves to righteousness. Because if we have been delivered from sin, if we've been delivered from sin through Jesus Christ, this is our role. This is our role right here, and that is to be a slave to righteousness. Satan wants to steal, kill, destroy. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the Word of God says?
Yes.
So we know what Satan's motive is. We know the spiritual source of it is Satan. We know that the attack is him, and we have to deal with it just the way Satan is dealt with. How did Jesus deal with Satan out in the wilderness? He quoted the scriptures. He quoted the scriptures, stood firm upon that scripture. And guess what? According to one of our classes, like we were talking about, the authority of God's word, Satan accepted that authority. And that's a very key thing that we have to understand because Satan accepts the authority of the scripture as being the end-all, be-all of everything. So when we start quoting the scripture, Satan has nothing to do except back away. Nothing to do but back away. So we have to realize that if he is trying to attack us, that we stand firm upon the scripture, we quote it, and he will never be able to touch us again. He always tries to bring us under bondage. Always. People fall under bondage for many different things. They can be for influences of people, influences of sickness, disease. We can fall prey to being, a lot of things that go on in the world today is like alcohol abuse. I mean, all these things in themselves aren't necessarily a bad thing to have a drink or anything like that, but it's the bondage that those things can lead you under. It's the bondage and the addiction that these things can bring you under to make you a slave to that rather than a slave to righteousness. Because anything that brings us in under the power of it or brings us into addiction, it is the God that we're serving. Because what happens is when people are addicted to something, that is the first thing that they're thinking about. Whether they would openly admit it, that is the first thing that they're going to do. That's the first thing they're going to take care of before they take care of anything else on their list. They're going to make sure that they have their fix. They're going to make sure they have their drink. They're going to make sure that they do whatever they are a slave to. But when you turn that around, if you're a slave to righteousness, isn't that a wonderful thing? We'll just be a slave to God. We can do whatever God wants us to do. Because when we put our priorities right, when he is the God, when he is the person that we are a slave to, the righteousness that we have been given only through God, only through Jesus Christ have we been able to become righteous, will we be able to be a proper slave to Jesus? So it's just a wonderful thing to be in that position to where we can be a servant to him. We can be a servant to Jesus Christ. And as we go on also, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we all know that it's not necessarily, addictions come and they can be very subtle the way they develop. It's one of those things where it's hard to really just point out to somebody, be like, oh, you're addicted to that, because it's a very subtle thing that comes to them. Sometimes it could take from, for instance, if you want to talk about cigarettes, it could start out somebody just trying one, or trying another one the next day. Well, and then they start developing a pattern, and it's just so subtle how it just sucks them into continually using it over and over and over and over again until they become addicted to it and become a slave to it. Now, one of those things about, to continue on the course of having like the substance or addictions and things like that, because God doesn't want us to be addicted to anything. God doesn't want us to be addicted to anything on this earth. He wants us to be addicted to him, his word, everything that's righteous, he wants us to be addicted to. So when you say maybe be a slave to righteousness, we should be addicted to righteousness. We should be completely 100% devoted to righteousness. And what that means is doing what righteous people do, And what is it? And another scripture says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. Doesn't say taken by God, it says they're ordered of God. God will order your steps, but you still have to take them. So he will put the steps in front of you. He puts the word in front of you that it gives you all the answers to our problems. Do we use it? Do we use the steps that he's laid out before us? Do we do those things? So when we are a slave to it, we will pursue that course of action. We will pursue whatever it is that we are a slave to or whatever we are addicted to. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's go to verse 15 through 20. It says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." When we are joined with God, we are one spirit with him. There is no, and it's just like that song we were singing this morning, his love, that friendship that we have is so intimate because we are joined as one spirit. We are completely united as one spirit. And in verse 18 it says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So when we have been purchased by God, when we accept that when we accept the gift of salvation, we become, like it said in Romans 6:18, we're slaves to righteousness, or slaves to God. We're slaves to Christ. And I know sometimes we don't like to think of it in that way because due to the history of the world, slaves have had a bad meaning. I mean, because they've been completely abused in that sense. But the fact is when you're a slave to God, God doesn't abuse you. God does everything for you. He lays out everything for you. He gives you He gives you healing. He gives you the salvation. He gives you peace. He gives you joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So God will give you that joy that will be your strength each and every day. He will give you that. But in verse 20, one thing that kind of spoke out to me was that it says, "For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So not only the outward things that we do should glorify God, but the inward things should glorify Him. Things that people don't see, so problems that people might not see in our lives, are those inward things that we keep inside of us glorifying God. Only we can tell that. Only we know what's going on inside of our hearts and Christ. So our bodies are members of Christ. So anything that you do to your body, anything that you do to your spirit, anything that you do to your soul, you're doing to Christ. So one thing that I know that I love about that, well, I guess you could also not like it about that, is the fact that when you're down on yourself, you realize that when you are putting yourself down, you're putting Christ down right at the same time. Because Christ is joined to you with one spirit. Christ is with you, and when we have died, just like I believe it's in Romans when we were going over on Wednesday, when we have died to sin and become slaves to righteousness, we die so that we may live with Christ. So that when we live in a way that is putting ourselves down, we're putting Christ down too, because Christ is the only thing that should elevate us in our life. Christ will elevate us to new heights that we've never even imagined. But the fact is that when we put ourselves down, when we emotionally get down, we are putting Christ down into a place where he can't touch us. Because when we're sitting there and we continually push ourselves down, it is not it's another way to say it is that we've been addicted to our own self-pity. I mean, we're addicted to the emotional depression. We're addicted to these things because all throughout, what I've noticed a lot in commercials is that I know there's a benefit to it when they're listing all these symptoms and all this kind of stuff with diseases out there so that we can kind of self-diagnose before we go to the doctor and all that kind of stuff. But the fact is that so many diseases are listed out there on TV that everybody thinks they have it. The bad thing about it is the majority of the world don't know what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says the more we confess things over our life, the more that's going to happen. And so the thing is when we have all this information available to us, the more we start confessing, saying, well, I might have this, I might have that, I might have this, I might have that. Guess what? A year down the road, they probably have all these things. Why? Because they continue to confess them over their lives. They continue to confess them things over their spirits. They continue to do that. But the Word of God doesn't want us to do that. Jesus wants us to build each other up, speak life to one another, and speak life to ourselves. Because we do have to consider what the Word of God says each and every day, and that means that we are a child of God. We are joined in one spirit with Him. Therefore, we should glorify God not only in our body, but in our spirit. We should glorify God each and every day, and to not do that is futile, not only for your physical life, but it's also futile for your emotional stability as well. Because we can't be stable if we're addicted to whatever our emotions dictate in our life. So if we're addicted or under the power of our emotions, then we're not letting God reign through. We're not letting Christ reign in our bodies. So we need to do things both in spirit and in body. And then like God said, we should worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if you guys go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 real quick. This is one of those hard and fast rules where sometimes we think, well, is this detrimental to myself? Or is this, sometimes we ask, well, can I do this or can I do that? Some of this stuff can come from younger Christians that might not have an idea of what the Word of God says. But if we go in here to chapter 10, excuse me, drink. I believe it's verse 31. And in verse 31, it says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Each and everything that we do every day should glorify God. Now, I know that might be kind of hard. Sometimes we're thinking, well, how can I glorify God doing this? How can I glorify God doing this? But the fact is it's our attitude that matters. It's 100% our attitude that matters. Because if we're doing things to glorify God, we're not going to put other people down. We're not going to participate in detrimental gossip. We're not going to do these different types of things. But we're going to build other people up. We're going to share the love of God with one another. We're going to, you know, do everything that we can to the best of our ability. Why? Because everything that we do reflects upon Jesus. Everything that we do as a Christian and in this world reflects upon Jesus Christ. That is one thing that the world understands, is that when we become a Christian, when we say that we are a Christian, we represent Christ. So when we do something to somebody of the world that doesn't know Jesus, they're like, well, I don't think Christ would act that way. It's amazing that they're experts about how Christ would act, but on the flip side, the thing is that what they expect out of us is what they know in their mind about Jesus. Jesus didn't shy away from people that had sinning problems. Jesus didn't shy away from people that were sick, you know. And it's one of those things that is real, it's kind of eye-opening when you look at people that do have disabilities, is how much people do just shy away from them. Jesus never would have done that. He would have looked them straight in the eye and asked them how they're doing. I mean, Jesus was that type of person, and that's what the life that when we are joined with him in spirit, our life should live the same way as he does. So when we see sick people, when we see those things in this world that we think are wrong, that's because our spirit's telling us that they're wrong. That's because Christ's like, that's not right. You need to reach out to that person. And the fact is that when we do obey Jesus, his light just shines to the world. When we obey Jesus, he is able to shine forth. So, I mean, it's one of those hard and fast rules where it's just kind of like, whether you do anything in this world, eat, drink, you know, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. One thing that I've noticed is that I don't do it 100% of the time, and I should, but it's, you know, when we're praying for meals, whether it's at home or whether it's out in the, you know, out in public, and it's the fact that people do notice that. It was amazing because, there was only two or three people. I know it was Christy, Susie, and Caleb and I. We were all at a Pizza Hut one time, and there was just this couple sitting across the way from us, and we prayed, gave thanks for our food, and just all together, and then we all ate. Well, and the couple right next to us, the guy was just kind of like, you know, a family that prays together stays together. And it just kind of opens up your eyes. It just shows, you know, the people recognize that. When people see you bow your head in prayer, they know right off the bat that's an easy way for someone to kind of say, well, they might be Christians. You know what I mean? It's just those little subtle things that we can do that lets God just shine in our lives. Because somebody might be needing prayer at that time. If they see that you're willing to bow your head there at the table, maybe you'll be willing to pray for them. I mean, it's just those little opportunities that we need to make sure that we seize and don't be under the power of what our emotions might tell us of saying, well, I don't want people to think differently of me. I don't know if, you know, what will they think if I do this? Well, what will they think if I do this? It doesn't matter what they think. Doesn't matter what they think. And I know because sometimes I've heard different people say that to me. They're like, well, what if? And I'm like, well, God doesn't really care what everybody else says. Because the fact is that we will stand before one person. One person is the only judgment that matters. And so when people try to tell us whether we're wearing the right clothes or doing the right things, it doesn't matter. Because if our life lines up with the Word of God, we've only got one judgment to take care of. And that's through Jesus Christ. And our sins have already been judged. And so it's just our life and whatever we do with it. And so we can glorify God through it. So if we go to the verse that we'd actually, that is in the bulletin, is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. And this was such a powerful thing for me, and I hope it is to you guys as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." It just shows us, I mean, when people are talking about the law of, you know, the law of Moses, everything in the Old Testament, there are a lot of things that we have so much freedom in Christ. And that's it's kind of the same answer for, I mean, it's the same answer for the people that are like, well, if we're free to do everything, and if God's, you know, if His grace abounds when we sin, does that mean we should just go on and keep on sinning? That way God's grace can be that much more. Well, in the sense of when we look at it, the relationship that we should have with God is like a parent. You know, God is our Father. He cares after us. And all these types of things. Granted, His patience is endless. Thank goodness. Thank goodness it's endless, because I know we all do things that are kind of like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But it's kind of at the same time, you know, if a parent is glad that you clean the room and the kid knows that, does that mean after you tell them to clean the room, they should dirty it up real good? And then that way, when they clean it, your parent will be like, oh, it's so great. No, that's not how it works. I mean, it's not the point that your room has to get the messiest it's ever been before grace will abound in that situation. So, I mean, it's not that we need to dirty up our temple so much so that God can be glorified in it. Because He doesn't save us so that we can go and get dirty in the world so that people can see the magnificent transformation that He's done in us. Why? Because the magnificent transformation that He's done in us already took place. Whether you see yourself as, I mean, before you were a Christian, whether you see yourself as completely, you know, dirty or completely worthless or anything like that, the fact is that the cleanup happened inside of your heart, not what was outward. It's not, you know, it's not the clothes that you wore, not the clothes that you're going to wear tomorrow, but I mean, it's the fact that the transformation that happens when you become a Christian happens on the inside. And so for people to see that, it's what you do with your life. After you've been a Christian, you know, after you've been saved, and what, you know, do you still struggle with the same things that they do? Or are you still under the power of different things that the world is under the power of? Another thing that came out from this is that, yeah, we have a lot of freedom to do things in Christ, but as it says here, but all things are not helpful.
That's right.
It's one of those reminding things that, yeah, you guys have a lot of freedom. We have a lot of freedom of what we can do in Christ, do for Christ, but the fact is, not everything that you do is helpful. So it's kind of like the, you know, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, right? So all things are lawful. You could make as many turns as you want to, but if your point is to get there the shortest amount of time, all that thing is not helpful. It's not helpful for somebody to lead you on a 10-mile journey on something that's only 2 miles away. So, I mean, it's not helpful for all these different turns and ways that we like to go sometimes in our life. It's okay that we do it. Doesn't mean that it's helpful, because we could get things done a lot, you know, a lot faster if we go ahead and do it Jesus' way. So, another thing, like it says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I know the first thing that came to my mind on this was substances. But in addition to that, I started thinking about it. It's kind of like feelings. Feelings are okay. You know, it's okay to have feelings. It's okay to have, you know, it's okay to have other people in your life. But are you under the power of any of those other things? Sometimes we let our feelings dictate what our life is going to be. And I know we've all done it at one point or another, because it's the whole poor me syndrome. I mean, it's because if we have those emotions that we're just kind of like, well, I just don't feel good today, are you under the power of those emotions? Are you under the power of those feelings? Or are you under the power of the Scripture that tells us that you don't have that? What are we under the power of? Because when we surrender, if we're slaves to righteousness, if we're slaves to Christ, we're under the power of His Word. Not the power of our emotions, not the power of our feelings, not the power of what our physical body tells us to do. Because when we have His Spirit inside of us, the Spirit transforms the body. The Spirit will transform, because, I mean, that's how it works with our salvation. Because when our spirit is transformed through salvation, how does the outside world know that that transformation took place? By the outward acts of our body. And that's why it says, you know, faith without works is dead. You know, if we have this faith, if we have this hope, and we're the only ones that know about it, I believe in 1 Corinthians, I can't remember what chapter, it might have been chapter 15, but it says if we're the only ones that have this hope, we're the most pitied people. Because if we're the only ones that have the hope and it's locked deep down inside us without any sharing or outward acts that go along with it, then what good is the hope? What good is hope unless you share it? What good is hope unless you give hope to somebody else? What good is it? So what good is the message of God? What good is the message of Christ inside of our hearts if we don't share it with other people? What good is it when we show other people, yeah, I love Christ, Christ is my Lord and Savior, but we show them that we're serving and we're under the power of other things in this world. We show them that, well, I'm just like you, you know, I've got problems too, you know, I'm down today, you know, my dog got put to sleep today. You know, poor me. And it's like, no, come on. We can't be bound by these emotions. We cannot be doing this because, and it's kind of a catch-22 because as humans, we do have emotions, and those emotions sometimes just go on wild roller coasters that completely take us up and down, up and down. But the stabilizing factor in our life has to be the Word of God. That stabilizing factor, because when people are looking for stability, they look for something that doesn't change. What doesn't change? God's Word. God. He says, I don't change. I change not. So that means that our stability has to be in Him, because He's the only thing that will remain the same throughout our life. The emotions of our loved ones will not remain the same. As much as we would love that, they will not remain the same. They will be up. They will be down. Whatever the case might be. I know we've all been there. And let's go on to Matthew 16 real quick. As you're turning there, we'll finish up that my last thought on that. When we start thinking about things that we can be under the power of, we can be under the power of other people as well. And it's one thing, I know that God tells us to, you know, submit to authority. But at the same time, if the authority contradicts the Word of God, our supreme power, then we shouldn't live by that standard. Sometimes other people influence the way you live your life, whether they be somebody that might be an authority figure over your life, but you might be completely swayed by their opinion. You might be completely swayed by the way people feel about you. We cannot be under the power of anything but the Word of God. Because He has freed us from any addiction. He's freed us from any kind of power of anybody else besides Him. Because He wants to rule and live in our lives. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. This is the way we can deal with these things. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind will be bound in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God tells us right there exactly how we need to deal with whatever it is that is trying to control our lives. If it's a demonic spirit that's trying to control your life, you know, if it's a, you know, I'm not saying that you should bind and gag somebody. I mean, it's not telling us that we should do these types of things. You know, if there's somebody that's controlling of your life, I'm not saying go and bind them up and anything like that. That's not what the scripture is saying. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Spirit. He's talking about the spirit because why is he talking about the Spirit? Because back in Ephesians, like we already just talked about, the matter at hand is spiritual. You know, whether you're dealing with a physical manifestation of something, it's a spiritual source of the problem. And then we need to deal with it in a spiritual way. So we can bind spirits and we can loose spirits. We can do that type of thing here on this world because God has given us that authority. Because when we become a child of God, we have been passed that inheritance down to us. And that's another thing to just keep in mind is that inheritance that we have been given through Jesus, we don't get it one piece at a time. And that's the best thing about it, is the fact that we don't get it little by little. We don't get salvation one day and we don't have to work for another year or two before we get healing. We don't have to work for another year or two after that before we get filled with the Spirit. All of these gifts are given to us. All we have to do is take them. All we have to do, like God has said with salvation, we have to speak it with our mouth, believe it in our heart. Because when we believe it in our heart, we confess it with our mouth, that's when salvation comes to us. That's when healing will come to you. That's when we take authority over things of this world, that's when it'll happen. Not when we keep it to ourselves, but when we believe inside of our hearts that God has freed us from it. God has set us free from any kind of slavery to anything of this world. But we are only slaves to righteousness, and we confess that with our mouth. Because when Christ Jesus is our Lord and we confess it over our lives, we don't have to be submitted or under the power of anything else. We don't have to be under the power of anything else. Because nothing in this world can have power over us unless we surrender to it. Nobody has the right to put you under the power of anything until you give them that right. Nobody has the right to control you. Nobody has the right. And I know it's kind of weird, and I don't like to admit this out in the open very much, but I believe it was yesterday. I was sitting at home, and Christy was watching. I don't know if it was yesterday or Friday, but Christy was watching. See, Christy was watching. I wasn't watching this. But it was, is it The Princess Diary? Yeah. To where, yeah, that's right. I'm not a princess. It's okay. But but the thing about it was this girl, she found out that she was a princess. I mean, one of those fairy tales. And I know you're waiting for that call, Dan. It's okay. but the thing is that she found this out, and so she went, you know, she went to her grandma and had this kind of makeover that happened. Well, she comes, she's in the car, and her best friend, who completely dislikes everybody of that kind of crowd that has the, you know, that has the persona or the, you know, the outward look of being, you know, a model or the in crowd or anything like that. And she was just ragging on her. I mean, her new hair, her new everything, I mean, the plucked eyebrows, everything, she was just ragging on her. And so she was just getting all teary-eyed or whatever. And the guy that was driving the car, you know, he got out and he was pretty much like, you know, nobody can put you down unless you let them. And how true it is, it's just the fact that nobody has the right to make you feel bad or feel subpar or feel inferior to anybody unless you give them that right. Because we have the right to think about ourselves what we want to think about ourselves. And so when we give that right to somebody else to dictate that, we've completely lost our liberty because we've allowed somebody else to be in control of us or have the power over us. And we need to start breaking that power of these things. We need to start breaking the power of anybody else's outside influence or any other things outside influence in our lives besides the Word of God and besides Jesus Christ. We need to completely get rid of all that influence. The last scripture that we're going to go to is Galatians chapter 5. And verse 1 is where we're going to start off. So as long as you find chapter 5, we'll be right there. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." If you're bound up, obviously you're under the power of something. So when somebody is tied up with a rope, they're bound with a rope, they're under the power of that rope because they can't get out. But one thing that we have to keep in mind, when we are saved with Jesus Christ, that grace that we've been given, we're free in grace, but it says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free." Christ gives you liberty. Yeah. Christ is the one that makes us free from any kind of bondage. But gives us a warning. He says, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. How easy it is when people, they come into something new, and they're like, this is the greatest thing ever in my life. But then they start tasting their old habits, and they go back to it again. And they're in bondage to that habit again. But that's why Christ has given us a warning. He says, he tells us, let me read it again, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. The liberty that Christ has given to us, we have to have that mentality in our mind that we're going to stand in that liberty. That we're not going to be swayed by anything or anyone. And as it goes on, it says, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. What that implies there to me when he says, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage, it implies to me that we have a say in it. Yeah. We have a say in it. So when we are entangled with a yoke of bondage to anything, it's because we let it. We let it happen. Because sometimes people go, well, I just didn't feel good, so I tried this, and it's worked for me in the past. Well, you're being enslaved back again to that yoke of bondage. Because anytime you're set free from anything, there's going to be a temptation to draw you back into it. Anytime. Just like when we get prayed for. Just like when we were getting prayed for healing or deliverance from anything, we're going to start to have that influence try to just nag at us and bring us right back. Or if we don't see immediately after prayer, if we don't see immediately that the doctor has completely given us a clean bill of health, we start being entrapped again and brought back into the bondage of what man says. But we have to stand fast and we have to refuse to have that kind of bondage put upon us. We have to refuse it because, like it says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And that's just a scripture that I think that each and every one of us should continually have in our hearts, because it's one of those things where anytime something tries to bring power upon you, you can refuse it. Because we don't have to be brought under the power of anything. Because as Romans 6:18 was saying, we are slaves to righteousness and righteousness alone. Because you can't be slave, you can't serve, like God said, you can't serve God and money or God and manna. You can't serve two masters. So when you're a slave to something, that's what you're a slave to. You can't be a slave to two different things. You can only be a slave to one thing. And so if you're going to be a slave to righteousness, everything else has to be put beside you. So all addictions, all power of other people, all power of emotions, we need to start putting aside us and start standing firm on the Word of God. So if you guys just want to stand up, we'll join hands and we'll pray and dismiss. But also at the same time, after we're done praying, feel free to come up, because I really think that if anybody has anything that's continually bringing them down, continually, you know, having a hold of you, a power over you, a power over your body, we need to start setting people free. And that comes through Jesus Christ alone. So we would love to pray for you here this morning. So let's just go ahead and bow our heads real quick. Father, I just thank you for the word that you've given each and every one of us here today. Father, let it be an uplifting word, not anything to condemn us, because therefore there is no condemnation, you know, through you. And I just thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be condemned, but Father, we can be completely set free and be a slave to righteousness and let your life just shine through us each and every day. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing that you are to each and every one. And I ask that you would carry forth that blessing and continue to just uplift us and bring us out of the power of any condemnation, any bondage, or any influence that other people try to have upon our lives. But let us only be influenced solely by your word and by your will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.